There are, as Brother Damon said, maps available at the east entrance, at the front entrance, maps to, and there are some right here. The memorial service for Brother Roger, 10 o'clock Friday morning. If you can go, please do, and we will be seeing you there. Make a declaration with me. The blood of the Lamb, has cleansed me, from all unrighteousness, guilt, fear, doubt, and unbelief. Have no place in my life. I am sin free by the judgment of God. The law has no place in my life. His grace fills my life with His bounty. And brings me into His great presence. Well, shake hands with somebody and find a seat. The men of valor will be placing notes in your hand. And as you get the notes, I want you to look at the back page of your notes, because the last page has got lines on it where you can cut them out and make bookmarks out of these promises of God, or you can just carry them around with you, make it in smaller size. But you need to keep the Word before your eyes. If you are not continually reminded of the goodness of the Lord, the devil will fill you with his lies. One of the great things about our God is His goodness. It is the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It says the land of the living because there are two different lands in operation at the same time. One, this one that's time regulated, and eternity where there is no time. When the Lord first showed me that there is no time in God, He allowed me to understand what God did with Moses. He allowed me to understand that from creation to the termination is already decided, and it's already out there in an ever-present now. And that if you could slip out of the veil of time, you could see the beginning. And if He didn't restrain you like He did Moses, you could see the end. Because it still exists. Where there is no time, there is no yesterday, tomorrow, last week, last year, last decade, it's now. That's why He said to us, now, timelessly, ever the same, faith is. It exists outside of the limitations of time. So if the devil can get you to focus on time, you prayed 2 days ago and nothing's happening. He will steal your victory from you because he's trying to get you to live in this realm of captivity rather than the eternal presence of God. When I approach today's message, the Lord began to deal with me about His goodness. And so the message today deals with that, because you cannot talk too much about the goodness of the Lord. There have been too many lies to the contrary. Religion itself has been one of the great culprits of stealing your relationship with God by, if you make a mistake, he'll get you. He's not the getter. He put all of your get on Jesus. So I do not fear God getting me, because he done got me 2,000 years ago. The price was paid for every mistake I ever have made, am making, or ever will make. Some people want to limit your salvation to a time frame. Yeah, he forgave you your sins up till that day. But then after that day, you got to keep it scrubbed clean. If you couldn't get you saved, you can't keep you saved. You can't add to or enhance your salvation. It is. It was before you discovered it. You just stepped into it. I hear people go, well, when the Lord found me. The Lord didn't find you. He was never separated from you. Only your ignorance separated you from him. The believer becomes born again through submission to the lordship of the anointed Redeemer. It is that submission to lordship in Romans 10, 9 and 10. I was listening while I was shaving this morning to one of the TV preachers. Now I want everyone to come and rededicate their lives to the Lord. He hadn't changed in his opinion about you. Have you changed in your opinion about him? If he is eternally the same, there's nothing to change. If he loved you on X day back in 1967, he still loves you that much and more. And you should be growing in a love relationship. I know that Richard Michelle, looking at 32 long, hard years, 32 years of bliss, have a different form of love than they did when she first said, that's how a woman moves 200 pounds ugly fat. Your love should progress, not digress. And sometimes, because we don't understand what's happening, we get comfortable with it rather than embracing it, because love is ever-changing you. Love doesn't change. It changes you and you grow in it. And if you learn that I can grow in love and relationship towards a person, then I can grow in a continual mode with the God of all creation. What benefits accrue to the believer through their submission to his lordship? When you come under his lordship and confess him as Lord of all, then you receive all that he has for you. You become an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. If you only get saved, you'll never understand what lordship is. You'll always have a rescuer, a savior, but you won't have a Lord. He is Lord of my finances. He's Lord of my health. He's Lord of my everything. And because he is Lord, I don't have to worry about it. But Pastor, haven't you seen the news of what's about to happen? Hogwash. It's only going to get better and better and more goodest yet for me as a believer. And for you, if you understand lordship, Lordship doesn't take a pause. This eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You want to step into eternal life, you got to get to know Daddy God. You got to get to know the Anointed Redeemer. And you get to know them through their word and through meditation and time in prayer. This is the promise which he himself has made to us. Eternal life, not temporary salvation. Not you're born again until you screw up again. It's eternal life. What do we not understand about eternal? No beginning, no end, just is. A lot of people not understanding eternity and the timelessness of God read the Bible and go, I don't get it. How is this person going to get to heaven at this time and this and at another time, and yet we all have supper together? Because in eternity there is no time marker or designation. So you will walk into heaven the same time Peter and Paul did. It takes a lot of meditation to get a hold of that. But once you step out of this time-regulated zone called creation and step into the Creator's realm, there's no time there. So all of the waiting and stuff that we see down here, they don't see. Because when we get to heaven, it'll be that time. What time? Timeless. That's why God could allow Moses to look over into him, and he saw creation and sat down and wrote the Pentateuch, because he saw it happen. Why? When he was exposed to eternity, there it was. But God said, you can only look this far, because if you saw the future, you'd blab it. So you can see where I've been, but you can't see where I'm going. If you knew where God was going, you would be a totally different person. But he doesn't want you to be a different person because of the reward. He wants you to be a totally different person because of a relationship. The Old Covenant first states what Hebrews echoes. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. The promises that belong to the believer are numerous. It's all about relationship and kinship. You're family now. You're not a stranger going, Most benevolent Holy Father, thou who art above all. No. You walk in, you go, Daddy. I love to hear people talk about Daddy God. I hate hearing people talk about God. The omnipotent, the most high. No, he's right here. He's big enough to fill the universe and small enough to fill my heart. From Lamentations. A lot of people won't read Lamentations because they think it's all bad news. But there are some powerful revelations there. I find Job not to be something to avoid, The book of Job, to me, is filled with faith. Some of the greatest faith passages in your Bible are in the book of Job. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. Never ceases. But the devil would like to tell you, oh, you said a shucky darn, now God is displeased with you. How can he be displeased with me if he's eternally pleased with me? God's love for you is not based on your behavior. It's based upon his faithfulness. For his compassion never fails. Pastor, what does that mean? Your new covenant tells you about compassion. When they said, Cuz has been killed, he was moved with compassion and went out and healed a multitude just to get even with the devil. You touch one of mine, I'll set a multitude of yours free. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, since he is my portion, I have hope in him. I don't have a lot of hope in myself. I know me. I'm not that great. But I know him, and he is. Psalms 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Everlasting. God will always be pleased with you ever since you became his. Only a parent can begin to understand that. Your child can be a stinker, but you still love them. And you'll still do everything you can to provide for and take care of them. Why? They're yours. You can talk about them, but nobody else can. Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. All generations. Not just a few, all of them. He is ever the same, eternally on your side, eternally providing for your good. He has an eternal desire to see you live in his realm. Psalms 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. When we come under his lordship, we enter into changeless, eternal life, where there is the meeting of every need, the fulfilling of every promise, and the granting of every true heart's desire. All of his promises become our birthright. When I read, with his stripes I was healed, that's not something I pray for. That's something that belongs to me. When I read that he supplies all of my need, that's not something I have to pray for. That's something I accept as reality. There's a phrase right up here that says, faith through knowledge produces truth in action. Once you have faith because you have a knowledge of God's word, you'll live that. You'll start living blessed. You'll start living above the fear and doubt and worry and unbelief of this world system. I would hate to have to face every day without God. Through meditation of His promises, we take ownership of them. Through meditation of His promises, we take ownership of them. I've got to find one of those exceeding great and precious promises in my new covenant. And Judith, I start thinking about it. That's mine. That's part of my birthright. I was born into this. I was born into health. I was born into wealth. I was born into joy, into peace, into eternal salvation. But I've got to think about that, or I'll let it slip. Paul said we got to be careful that after we embrace the truth, we don't let it slip. Because then we can become a shipwreck. Because we're adrift without true direction. Meditating His promises gives me direction. Gives me boldness. Gives me courage. A lot of people say, well, I read the Bible. You don't read the Bible. You learn to live in its truth. And it is through meditation. All right, Father, You said, with His stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I is healed. Therefore, this lie has got to leave my body. Because You said, as a promise to me that belongs to me since salvation, that I am the healed of the Lord. I see myself walking, talking. I see myself doing what I can't do. I see myself triumphing and overcoming. His word is eternal, changeless as promised. It doesn't sort of mean, well, it could mean, well, if you look at it with one eye, no. It means exactly what it says. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Dear Lord, that promise from Deuteronomy, it's repeated in Hebrews, tells you you're wed to God forever. In this life and out of this life. If we truly understood that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, we would understand there's no time in that. But theologians, because they are regulated by time, have come up with soul sleep. My soul don't sleep. It's wide awake forever. How much of the covenant are you benefiting from? Most church people would be hard-pressed to give you 6 promises from the New Testament. And yet, the New Testament tells you they're exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life, and that more abundantly. And godliness. Well, Pastor, you know, that last part there, godliness. I got a problem with that. Why? You're family, aren't you? You're born of God, aren't you? He calls you son. The praise team changed that song. I'm a friend of God. I'm not a friend of God. I'm a son of God. An heir and joint heir. Therefore, I can have everything I understand belongs to me. The reason most church people don't have more is they don't believe more because they don't know more. They think it's efficient to get their report card punched every Sunday and then just live life as it comes during the week. I spent nearly the entire day yesterday in the Word, just talking to Daddy. I would pray in the Spirit and then I would read. I would pray in the Spirit and I would read. And the more I read and the more I prayed, the more refreshed I got. Yesterday morning, I went to my desk thinking, I could really use a nap. I've been up for 2 hours now. But I began to pray in the Spirit. And pretty soon, the thought of a nap had totally left me. And the desire for more and more and more kept growing. When you learn what our Lord was saying when he said he came to bring sight to the blind, he was not talking about physical healing. He was talking about a whole generation that was blind to his goodness, blind to his love, blind to his grace. Right now there is a movement among some churches. They're fighting the grace movement. How can you fight what God is? God is grace. His grace endures to all generations. What is the difference between the Old and New Testament? The grace of God. They didn't have grace in the Old Testament. They had law. We don't have law, we have grace. But Pastor, you know, you can get to where you've gone too far with that grace. You can't go far enough with that grace. His grace is sufficient for every need. Grace is love in motion. God is love. So his great love is providing for everything you need in your life. But if you don't know it's yours, you won't walk in it. There have been so many stories. A man in Chicago had befriended someone at one point in his life. That person went on to become a multimillionaire and left them over $1 million, and they were living on welfare. Daly was the mayor at that time, and he had to go out to their house after attorneys told him about it, and he had to set them down and make them read the will. And he said, "You're not going to live on welfare in my city with $1 million in the bank." The story is told of a woman who served the royal family in England, and she was living in shambles and barely able to get by. And one day the rector of her church came to visit, and he saw something framed on the wall. And he said, "What's that?" And the woman said, "That's something her ladyship gave me before she died." He said, "What is it?" She said, "I don't know, but it looked important." He went over and read it, and she had left an endowment for her maid to cover all of her expenses for the rest of her life. And she's living beneath her means because she hadn't read what was given her. Come on, church. people today are living beneath their means because they have not read what belongs to them. When you read what he had to say, and it becomes real to you through meditation, then it can't be stolen from you. But you can allow doubt and unbelief to rob you of what's already yours. Those wills did not say that person could get it. It said it was theirs. They were just living beneath it. Right now in Texas, there are over $2 billion on deposits in bank that belong to people, and they've never checked the list to see if their name is on the list. I like to look at the list to see if my name is on there from something I forgot about or something somebody did and didn't know how to get in touch with me. There are laid up for you everything that your heart could desire, but only through reading the will you know how to obtain it. The Bible says, the uncompromisingly righteous shall live by faith. Exactly what does that mean? It means that my belief becomes my ownership and my paycheck. If I believe a new covenant promise, I will act on it. If I've read it, I won't. I'll go along singing, "Wouldn't it be wonderful?" It is wonderful. If it's in the book, it's yours. But can you see yourself with it? Can you see yourself as owner of it? Can you see yourself blessed with every spiritual blessing? Well, Pastor, that's like praise and worship. No. Every blessing comes out of the Spirit. Everything you can touch and taste and feel came out of the Spirit. It's a blessing of God, a gift of God. What is a blessing? It's a gift of God. You have been blessed with every blessing that the Spirit created. You have not been blessed with what the devil perverted. What did God create? He created eternal life. He created health. He created wealth. You know that our Lord talked 3 times about wealth. For every once he talked about heaven. But if you've never read your New Testament, you don't know that. You've been taught that wealth is evil. I have a revelation for you. Wealth is not evil. Misuse of it is. God wants you to wear the best, drive the best, live in the best. God didn't create wealth for the devil's kids. But if you don't know it's yours, they'll steal it. You've got to start exercising the authority that you have under lordship. And if you were only saved, "Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins," you're missing out on the great blessing of being a son of God, being an heir and joint heir. Because when I come under lordship rules. Lordship rules. That's why it told you, rule and reign in life. Why? You're little lords. Amen. Well, Pastor, you mean God with a little g. No, no. There's only one G in the family, and it's big. It remains to be seen what you can do in your life by laying hold of the promises that have been yours all the time. Don't be like the people living beneath their means when all of their need was already met. They just have to claim it. Well, why do I have to claim it? Why didn't it just come on me? Because you wouldn't appreciate it if you didn't take ownership of it. The promise sheet that I've given you is so you can make just cut along the lines. And you can make bookmarks. The steadfast of the Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you for the task. I will uphold you with my right, with my righteous right hand. For I know the plans I have for you, decrees the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Brother Jim, God wants to prosper me. Can you read? And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is the power that works in us? It is written. If you don't have it is written in you, you don't have power. But if you'll hide his word in your heart, you get more and more powerful. And pretty soon, the devil is afraid to walk by your house. The radiation from your power might get him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I don't have to understand the why of the promises of God. I just have to take ownership. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. How do I acknowledge him? As Lord. Daddy, you've already won this battle for me. You should see every mountain that arises in your life as an opportunity. Sister Michelle asked me if I would put together a little something on why do bad things happen to good people. And so I'm working on it. Not pleased with what I've got yet, but I've began to get a handle on it. Let me roughly share with you where I am right now. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because God is no respecter of persons. if God arranges so good people never had a problem, they would remain weak. It is overcoming the problems that make you strong. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. God is a God of equality. It happens to everybody, but not for everybody. If a burglar is coming and God puts a 45 in my hand, I'm not real concerned about that burglar. I've already got the answer. Are you listening, church? If I can put that much faith in something I can touch, can I put that much faith in something I can only experience? The good people are not necessarily the good people. Every day we find out that somebody we thought was trustworthy, dependable, was faking it. I have been troubled this week about a certain skank who lied on Bill O'Reilly. And because she said he did this, everybody took her word for it. And this week it was proved that she's done this several other times to other people and is now in trouble with the law for filing false reports and lies. She brought down one of the most powerful men in news, a multimillionaire, with lies. But you're about to see Bill O'Reilly back on Fox because his life stood the test of her lies. And now that she's been proven a liar, he can pick his life back up. But through it all, he never quit doing interviews. He never quit writing books. He never quit doing what he was doing. He just couldn't do it publicly. Some people are good, and although bad things happen, they will eventually triumph over it. But a truly good person is a God person. Therefore, they have the answer to every temptation, test, and trial. So if they're a good person, a God person, and bad things happen, they slough it off. They take authority over it. They kick it out of their sphere. They don't lay down and suffer under it. How do you know if a person is a good person or not? Does what happened cause them to crater? Then they really weren't a good person. A good person fights for truth, justice, and the American way. Our Lord said to us, in the world you will have tribulation, but Don't take up residence there. I've overcome the world for you. Take on my victory. Take on my lordship. Take on my authority and kick that mess out of your life. So that if you're a truly good person and bad things happen, you get rid of it and you get over it. November, I turned 71 years of age. And I'm working on 120 because I have a promise of God. I've been through hell many times in my life. But it couldn't overtake me. It couldn't keep me down. It couldn't defeat me. I do not know defeat because I know victory. That doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen to me. It just means I don't have to be ruined by it. I can get knocked down, but I'm going to get back up. And I'll keep getting up mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, because I refuse to meditate anything less than success. It hurts my heart to see believers start meditating on, they said. This happened. That happened. How could God let this happen? Because He's a good God, and He's giving you a chance to demonstrate His goodness. He's not saying accept it as your lot in life. He's saying kick it out of your sphere of influence. Triumph over it. Rise above it. Have a testimony of God's divine nature and provision. Every time hell breaks loose in your life, it's an opportunity to cave or an opportunity to demonstrate His victory. I know my God heals. Not just because I've experienced it, but because His Word says so, and He can't lie. Now, because I had accepted His Word that I was healed before the attack came, I celebrated my healing through my adversity. Because all the time I was looking for victory to dawn. When I had the assurance of my day and my time, I began to stand on it. And when that day and time came, I fulfilled it. Many of you were there to witness it. Because I said, I will walk out of this hospital on X. And on X, I walked out. And they brought a wheelchair to my room and were going to wheel me out. And I said, you ain't got enough people in this hospital to put me in that chair. So I walked out because they said I had to have the chair. I walked out with an empty chair pushing. Her purse was sitting on it. But I walked out. Why? Because I had a promise. And that promise had to come to pass. God doesn't give you a promise to fail. He gives you a promise to win. Understand this. Your salvation does not make you exempt from temptations, tests, and trials. It only empowers you to kick them in the teeth. If I go to the plate, put my bat over my shoulder, and the pitcher has already told me, the third one I'll lob over the plate. I don't get concerned about the first strike, the second strike because it's already fixed. When that third one comes, it'll lob over the plate and I'll have a hit. God said, you're going to be attacked. But in every attack, I've made a way of escape. The way of escape is the word that's at work in you. My victory is not in my prayer life. My prayer life established my relationship. It doesn't win my battles. He didn't say, according to the prayer you pray. He said, according to the power that's at work in you. His word equals your victory. We can sometimes pray wrong. You can never stand on the word wrong. You're either on it or you're off it. The loving kindness of your daddy has prepared for you more than you can ever withdraw from your account. Why? Because he does exceeding, abundant, above and beyond all that you can ask or think. Realize this, no matter how big you can believe, he's bigger. And the victory already belongs to you. You just have to lay claim to your piece of the pie. I want every promise in the New Testament working in my life. I want it working in your life. I don't want you defeated by anything. Anything that's unlike a promise of God is of the devil. The devil would like to convince you that some things just happen. No, there's things that happen from God, and there's things that happen from the devil. If it ain't God, then the devil is trying to eat away at your inheritance, trying to eat away at your position in God, trying to eat away at your belongings. Joy belongs to me. Peace belongs to me. Power belongs to me. Eternal life belongs to me. He didn't say, here, hold this for a while until I take it back. He said, there, it's yours. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. But if you are not familiar with it, you may hang it on the wall and wish life was better, when what's hanging on the wall has already guaranteed you that your life is better. But you can die and never possess what belongs to you. I want what belongs to me. I want for you every promise in the book. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I want to see you walking in such fullness that people are jealous of your life. When it's the God in you that's being seen, it's all right for them to be jealous. But you can reveal to them how they can have the same place in God. That's your job as a believer, to reveal God's goodness to a lost and dying world. You do that every time you experience the hand of God. Tell people about it. If you are not willing to brag on your daddy, you may come up short the next time you need to make a withdrawal. You are somebody. You're headed someplace. And you have something that can't be taken from you. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Why? It's all fixed. My life, my health, my wealth, my joy, my peace, they're all fixed. They were fixed at the cross and in the resurrection. Because he rose triumphant, triumph belongs to me.
Yes.
Did you get anything today?
Yes.
This week I went through my closet and I pulled out all the extra large shirts that were making me look like a clown. And there's a rack in my office with those shirts. If you could use a few, please do. The first person I said something to, I said, go ahead and take 6 of the shirts. The next thing I know, I look up and they got 2 dozen shirts in their arm and they're headed for their car. I went to their car and got the 2 dozen shirts back and they don't get any. But if you would like to have a few shirts, don't grab them all because they're free. Don't get an armload and run. Somebody else might want some. After they've been gone through and there's some left, help yourself again. I can't wear them anymore. I'd like to see them put to use, and I'd like to see a believer using them. Daddy God, your word is life to those who find it and medicine to all their flesh. Your word in us equips us for every problem, trial, mountain, adversity in life. We are more than a conqueror. Open our blind eyes to see who we are, who you are, and what we have together. And the church said,
amen.
Go with God. Don't forget the maps if you can go Friday.